after looking into that, I don't believe those hold up. First of all, near-death experiences for the last 20 or 30 years or so seem to be all the rage. I mean, you can hardly turn around without finding a new book somewhere, a new speaker, new interest in near-death experiences. And one of the first questions that I ask myself is, why? Why didn't we see much of this earlier? I mean, is this kind of like UFOs? There just weren't any before 19-whenever? Or is there something? And I have to tell you, I'm very skeptical on the UFO thing. So that was a very skeptical question that I was asking. Does it mean that these have recently surfaced? Does that mean that they're not real, or that somehow this is a fad? And I'll tell you the conclusion that I came to was that there are several reasons why we have so many more near-death experiences recorded now. The first one is that medical technology has increased. And so a lot of people who in the past wouldn't have made it to tell an experience are now actually being revived through medical procedures, and so they can tell their experience now. The second part of the equation, I believe, is that after it became acceptable to talk about these experiences through Raymond Moody's first book, Life After Life, then other people who would have otherwise been afraid to say anything felt like it was okay to talk, and it was okay to have their stories told or even published, when before that it probably wouldn't have been socially acceptable, and if you would have spoken about your experience, somebody would have thought you were crazy. And a third point here needs to be made, and that is that it really isn't true that near-death experiences have only just in the last 20 or 30 years happened. They have happened long before that, although not as widely tested, probably because of the reasons that I've just mentioned. But let me mention a few. If you take a look in the New Testament, Paul talks about an experience he had about going up into heaven, and he says he doesn't know if it was in the body or not, but he saw and he heard unspeakable things, things that were so marvelous that it was not lawful for someone to utter them. He was a very sickly individual. Paul had many different physical frailties and difficulties, and Raymond Moody and other near-death experience researchers have theorized that Paul perhaps had a near-death experience there. At the very least, it was something akin to a near-death experience, or very, very similar. Two other experiences that I could mentioned here, and there are dozens and dozens of others, show that near-death experiences have been happening all through the ages. One of the more fascinating books on near-death experiences that I've ever read is one called Otherworld Journeys by Carol Zaleski. She, fascinating researcher, she's a lecturer in the study of religion at Harvard University, or at least she was when this was written, and she gathered a number of near-death experiences that happened in the Middle Ages. She chronicles them in her book. One of them was listed in her book. It's on page 29, about one Gregory, who in the 6th century had an experience where he died during the plague. And those who were around him tried to help him and revive him, but it was seen that he was gone. He was lost. And he was actually drawn out in the streets and lain down with all the other corpses. And of course, when the plague happened, there were many. And he was then heaped into a wagon with a number of other bodies of people who had died from the plague, and it was rattling on down across a bridge, and apparently maybe the jolting action of the wagon or, you know, whatever it was, it certainly wasn't CPR and IVs and modern medical technology then, but for whatever reason, he revived, and he breathed, and he sat up, and the poor kid who was driving the wagon thought that it was a ghost or, you know, some evil plague to come get him, and hopped off the wagon and fled, and this poor guy hopped in and slowly was able to make his way back into town and told this story about what had befallen him, and that he had gone out of his body, his spirit had left his body, and that he had found himself drawn to a magnificent light, is the way it was described, and that he saw and smelled and touched there things of great beauty, and he contrasts those with the dark circumstances of the day during the plague, and describes structures, houses, that he said were made of golden bricks, at least that's the way he described them. They would have been bright, beautiful, and brilliant. And he saw brilliant flowers that he described as being like roses. And then he saw a dark river, and he knew that he could not go beyond that river and return. And he was told by people that he met there that he needed to go back, which he did. And that was his experience. Some thought that he was crazy. Some believed his experience, and it was written down. Another one that Carol Zaleski chronicles in her book is one of an 8th century Anglo-Saxon monk by the name of Dreithelm. And he was quite an amazing guy. And he had died after a very severe illness that had lasted several days. And he died in his sleep. In the morning, his family members came around to see how he was and check on him, and he had gone. He had passed away. Later, he revived, but in the intervening time, he had an experience which he described when he woke up, which was that he met a man, quote, of shining bright apparel, who escorted me to an enormous valley, one side of which roared with flames and the other side raged with hail and snow. So it's quite an interesting description that he has here. And he talks about some of the different people that he sees there and how some of them are tormented and some of them are quite happy. And he is told that he must be returned because of the prayers of his family members, and that he has to live the rest of his life and decide whether he will be like those people who are tormented in the next life, or those who are happy. And then he's returned. So again, a very interesting experience, colored by the concepts and culture of the day, but one which is very similar to some of the other experiences that we actually read contemporary with us today. Before we get to absolute modern times, to current times, I had to mention that there are some similarities within different religious denominations. Near-death experiences. There are people who have had near-death experiences or experiences very similar to near-death experiences, and I'll bring out a few of these. I spoke several years ago with a Baptist minister who was living in Wyoming, and he told me that as a young child, he had had a real difficult time with dentists. He had a bad set of teeth, and it was kind of like every time it was drilling and drilling, you know, cavities and crowns, you know. I mean, he just had a tough time going to the dentist. And he also did not have a good time with the anesthetic, apparently. He was quite sensitive to it. And the dentist who had taken care of him over the years retired, and a new one came into town and apparently gave him too much. And they lost him on the dental chair there in Wyoming. And he had a near-death experience and actually described in quite vivid detail. And lo, these many years later, he still chuckled about it, because apparently the main concern of the dentist was whether his reputation was going to be ruined by one of the first new patients he had dying on his little table there. And he and his nurses were running around trying to revive this kid, you know, and eventually they were successful. And this was a Baptist minister who very strongly believed that his experience was genuine and was authentic. Here we in Salt Lake City, we of course have a lot of contact with, and I'm sure many here today are Latter-day Saints. There are a couple of experiences. I won't share many, but there are a couple of experiences in LDS culture which strongly parallel or are similar to near-death experiences. In the experience where Joseph Smith talks about being visited by an angel, the angel Moroni, he describes the departure of the angel in ways very reminiscent of a near-death experience. He says that he leaves by going up through a conduit or a tunnel back into heaven. This was before near-death experiences were described and the phenomenon of the tunnel had been published or was known. Also, in the Collected Discourses, which has a number of talks by LDS leaders, there was an experience that was related by a bishop who was invited to speak at General Conference, and he related an incident, and this was, of course, well after the fact, but it's quite fascinating because it describes Joseph Smith himself as actually having a near-death experience. On one occasion, Joseph Smith had been hauled out and beaten up and tarred and feathered and pretty rough time. And here's the description of that event by Bishop Kessler. He says, on one occasion at a meeting held near the temple in Nauvoo, Joseph arose and made a few remarks. And he related the incident of a mob knocking one of his front teeth out and their unsuccessful effort to pour poison down his throat. His spirit, he said, left his body and hovered over it in the air and returned after it was over. They supposed they had killed him and left. It was then that his spirit retook his body. So I thought that was fascinating. That was a quote from over 100 years ago. And there are many other similar quotes that we could give from many, many different religious denominations. One of the things that many people ask is whether or not these experiences are real. Are they figments of imagination? Are they the attempt of someone who thinks they're going to die? Is it the attempt of someone's brain to try to go to some different place rather than escape some kind of inevitable death that they see impending before them? Is it some kind of hallucination? This is another explanation that's been brought up. Is it something that could perhaps be induced by drugs or some other phenomenon? To all of those, I can answer absolutely not. And here are the reasons why. There have been a number of studies done on correlation between drugs, anesthetic, those kinds of things and near-death experiences. And there is actually an inverse correlation. If you're given drugs in the hospital or drugs in connection with an accident or an injury, you are less likely to recall a near-death experience. If you don't have drugs, if you don't have some other outside influence on you, you're actually more likely to have a near-death experience. So that is not a causative factor. As far as hallucinations go, here I guess the information is more anecdotal. The people who I think are most useful in this regard are those who have had hallucinations and those who have had near-death experiences and who can compare them both together. And those who I've talked to who have had both say they are very different. Hallucinations have an otherworldly feel to them. They don't seem to be vivid and real. They seem to be more dreamlike. Things are often warped in terms of their perspective. They often tend to be fuzzy or unreal in their quality in terms of distance, in terms of relationships, in terms of communications. Near-death experiences are very different from that. People who have near-death experiences describe that their senses are heightened, not dulled, that relationships, distances, everything becomes more clear, concise, and crisp, not more fuzzy, blurred, and dulled. A similar thing could be said about the relationship or the possibility that near-death experiences are somehow drug-induced. That doesn't seem like much of a possibility to me, because so many experiences happen with people who have never been using drugs at the time. Nevertheless, I've talked to a number of people and heard a number of people speak here who were using all kinds of drugs and also had a near-death experience. They described those two events, those two experiences, as very, very different. Very, very different. Similar to the difference between hallucinations and in a real-life, true near-death experience. Of course, when you have drugs, things do not seem real. They're often blurred, dulled, or have a quality that is just not lifelike, inaccurate. And near-death experiences are just the opposite. Raymond Moody, in his first book, Life After Life, talks about the possibility that perhaps some of these other explanations could be the origins of near-death experiences. And he comes to the conclusion that none of those account for near-death experiences. I've come to the same conclusion. And the thing that certainly has been most persuasive for me, in addition to what I've already mentioned about the reasons why those other explanations don't work, is that near-death experiences have, on occasion, something that an experience caused by some other source could never have. And that is that often people who have these experiences learn something new. They learn new facts, new information that they could not possibly have acquired any other way than through a near-death experience. Let me give you a few examples. I spoke with an MD back east, Bruce Grayson, who was at one point, quite a few years ago now, resuscitating an elderly lady who had been blind from the time that she was a teenager, and she was now well advanced in years, and she'd come in with cardiac arrest. She had near-death experience, and while she had this experience, physically she left her body and saw what was going on around her in the attempts to revive her. She saw a nurse being unable to get into adrenaline and breaking a bottle so that she could get the adrenaline, and she saw all kinds of details, what the people in there were wearing, what was on the wall. In short, she could see while her spirit was out of her body, which she could never have done because she was totally blind since the time that she was a teenager. And Dr. Grayson was very struck by this experience because to him it was inconceivable that this woman could have acquired the information that she had any other way than through seeing and through the description and the experience that had happened to her by way of having a heart attack coming in and having this near-death experience. She described everything. There was just no other explanation for it. There are many others. I interviewed a woman who had died and been taken to the hospital, and her brother, on hearing the news, quickly got dressed, and she said he was never a great dresser, but this time he really outdid himself. You know, he kind of grabbed what was ever on the floor and stuff, and had on, you know, plaid shirt, plaid pants that were bad contrast, and the guy was a mess. You know, two different shoes. I don't remember the whole description, but the guy looked an absolute mess. And she had a near-death experience, saw her brother out in the hall dressed like this, and one of the first things she said when she was revived and came back was, "Go tell Frank to change. He looks absolute. You know, he can't." I mean, how else is she going to get that information?